listening to Season 2 of the Fairways People podcast, where we share inspiring stories, meaningful conversations, and the voices behind our charity. Each episode offers a closer look at the people and passion that drive us. Hosted by Fairways Managing Director Gareth Webb.
Hello, so welcome to another Fairways People podcast. So I'm Gareth Webb, the Managing Director of Fairways. And today for our guest, we have Emma Moore.
Hello.
How are you, Emma?
I'm very well, thank you.
Good, good. So Emma is our head teacher at Glade School, which is our school for young people with autism.
That's correct.
And Glade is an acronym from Grow and Learn.
Grow, Learn and Develop Every Day.
Excellent. Cool. Okay. So thank you for coming in. I know you've been with Fairways now, it's about a year and a half?
About a year and a half, so yeah. 2 years in April.
Wow, see, I thought it was about 2 or 3 years, God.
It has been an eventful year and a half, enjoyable, but there's been a lot to do.
There is, isn't there?
And it's been a very incredible journey.
Yeah, we'll come to that, yeah, absolutely. So, so let's go straight in. Talk to me a little bit about your childhood and where you grew up then, Emma.
Yeah, okay, so I grew up in Southampton, so Southampton born and bred, which might come as a shock to come into Fairways, where everyone seems to be Pompey born and bred. I grew up in Western Shore in a tower block.
Okay.
So quite a eventful past. So and my motto is, it isn't where you've come from, it's where you end up.
Definitely.
So grew up on that side of the city and then moved for various reasons over to the other side of the city. So actually I'm based in Totton, which is not very far from Glade School.
Okay.
Which is really helpful to kind of know, you know, the environment and the location. And then have stayed all of my life in the same place in Totton. So okay. I went to school all the way through school in the same location.
Okay.
So, yeah.
Okay, so Southampton born and bred.
I am Southampton born and bred.
Okay, so I won't hold that against you. So did you? How were you at secondary school? Did you like school? What was?
I loved school. Probably my best time at school was at junior school, so that kind of primary phase. And then when I hit secondary school, I kind of have always been the person where I don't want to stand out. So secondary school is difficult to kind of try and just stay hidden, and I wanted to just stay hidden and get through. So I saw secondary school as a bit of a survival. Loved school, really academic, wanted to do my best, but actually just wanted to get through without anyone really noticing me. That was kind of, okay. That was me at secondary school.
And what was your favourite subject?
Geography.
Geography, okay.
Yeah. Mm. Hence why I went on to kind of, you know, into university. So went to college and then went off to university in Brighton and did a geography degree.
Ah, okay, so your degree's in geography,
yeah,
right.
It is. Okay. And I think I always knew that I wanted to go into teaching. That was always the thing that I wanted to do. I was that sad person who kind of played with their teddy bears and lined them up and did a register. And I don't know why I'm admitting this on a podcast that will go to everyone. But I was that kind of person who wanted to go into education. But I kind of weighed up the risk of what happens if I go to university and do a degree that's only in teaching and I get partway through and suddenly I don't want to be a teacher. So I thought, I'll hedge my bets. I will do a degree and then go into teacher training if that's still my passion after my degree. And that was the route I went. So I did a geography degree for 3 years at Brighton and then came home to do a teacher training PGCE course at Southampton.
Oh, OK. Oh, wow. So you sort of knew early on that you wanted to be a teacher.
Yeah,
oh,
I did.
Oh, brilliant. OK.
And I knew that the PGCE was really difficult in terms of looking after yourself, going on placements, doing assignments. I knew that it was quite heavy, so I thought I'd come home so that Mum could look after me and do my washing and my
nice,
cooking,
I like
so
that,
I could, you know, concentrate on what I needed to concentrate on.
And what was Brighton? Was that colourful?
Brighton's amazing. I had to work quite a lot through it, so I worked all the way through in McDonald's and then Asda and things like that. But the nightlife down there is incredible.
Yeah.
Lots of stories down there.
Cool. Okay, so you come back did your PGCE, and then did you step straight into a teaching role after that?
Or? Yeah, I did. I got my first teaching role straight from university in a place called Millbrook in Southampton, which is a really vulnerable area. So all of my roles up until this point have kind of been working alongside vulnerable people and families, really. And that I stayed there for 7 years. Until I kind of moved on to a school based in Totten because I went for a promotion. Okay. So I stayed as a newly qualified teacher in my first school for 7 years.
Yeah.
And watched that kind of taught in year R all the way up to year six. So over 7 years, kind of really learnt my craft in, you know, covering every year group and working in every year group and watching what that development looks like for children all the way through. And what's really lovely is actually some of the children that I taught in reception when they were four, I then taught them again in year six when they left to go to secondary school.
Okay, brilliant.
So an incredible experience to kind of follow children through like that.
See their journey, yeah, definitely. So so did you get into leadership in these schools?
Or yeah, how did that come about? Some aspects of leadership in my first school, but I suppose it really came to fruition when I moved to a school called Abbotswood, which is in Totten as well. And I went there as the year four year leader. It's the largest junior school in Hampshire. So I had 150 children in my year group and 8 members of staff. So I was quite used to at that point running a team of people. And within kind of 2 years of doing that role, I applied for the deputy head role and managed to secure that role as deputy head. And my responsibilities as deputy head was about curriculum lead and about coaching and teaching because that was my passion. And it was a bit of a risk going into leadership because the reason I went into teaching was to stay front facing with the children because that's my passion.
Yeah.
And my worry was if I take that step back into leadership, then you lose the core reason as to why you've gone in. But actually the role within my deputy headship was about being in the classroom and looking at curriculum and looking at teaching. So I still had that kind of hands-on, but had a leadership role to kind of develop and move forward, really. And at that time, I kind of thought I might want to start a family, and being in the classroom and marking 120 books wasn't sustainable to kind of raise a family, really.
Yeah, yeah.
So, and then that role 3 years later turned into me becoming the Senko as well as the deputy head.
Okay.
And that changed my viewpoint around education. That kind of really sparked a passion about wanting to work with children who need extra support and families who need extra support, and how do we change education for children who look at the world differently, and instead of making them fit into one model, it was about finding what worked for them. So again, still a lot of time spent in classrooms watching how children learn, seeing it through their eyes to help the teachers adapt their practice to meet the student, as opposed to just shoving the student through one model. And that kind of really is where that passion has really come alive.
Yeah. Okay, sorry, just skipping back. So you did your PGCE.
Yeah.
So that was that primary? Because you taught a lot of primary, but not secondary.
No, I'm primary trained.
Oh, okay, right.
And I see that as a massive advantage in this role, because some people might say, but how are you the head of a secondary school? But actually teaching is teaching, relationships are relationships, connections are connections.
Yeah.
I think, if you're trained in one area of education, then a lot of those skills are transferable to secondary education.
Cool, excellent, okay. Brilliant, so you've had quite an extensive career, over 20 years, I believe, in education.
Yeah.
So how did Fairways come about?
So Fairways came about at absolutely the right time because I'd reached a point in my current role where I felt like I was bashing my head against a brick wall. So being a Senko, you're often the person that families reach out to because no other service will help and support because there's a waiting list as long as your arm. And it got to a point where budgets were cut, and when budgets are cut, they only hit the most vulnerable people. And I felt like my values of what I wanted to achieve didn't align with the school at that point. And services were shutting their doors, and I just thought, I need to find something different, otherwise I'm going to leave education. I'd really hit kind of crisis point, because I just couldn't see how education was helping the most vulnerable people, and I was kind of carrying that weight, and I just needed a change. And so the story is that Lorna's sister-in-law worked at my previous school.
Okay.
And Lorna got message and to the sister-in-law to say, oh, maybe, have you got anyone who might be interested in applying for the headship that we've got? And so I looked at it and thought, oh, I'm not sure headship is where I really want to go, because it was never where I wanted to go, because I wanted to just stay in with, you know, front facing with the children. But I thought I'd go and have a look round, and I did. And I met Laura. And yeah, that's like, that's how the story goes. And
the rest is history.
The rest is history, as they say, yeah.
Well, I'm glad you didn't tap out of education, because since you've come on, you've done, and you are doing an outstanding job. You've really turned the school around. So and like you say, it's been just a year and a half, roughly, since you've joined. I know it's been a long journey. So talk to me a little bit about your role now. What do you do in the school as head teacher for our Fairway School?
Yeah, so the journey has been really long, but really rewarding. So initially it was about picking up the school and evaluating where the school was and working out where it needs to be. So, you know, that's about sorting out roles and responsibilities and those things. And I think my role now is, because we've set up such good structures in the school and we've got a really good senior leadership team. And so my job now has become way more strategic than it was to start with. It was very hands-on. And I know you have a saying, don't you, about, you know, get onto the balcony. And actually, because my team are so brilliant, I can now get on the balcony and kind of look at those, you know, systems and structures that need to be in place. But ultimately, my goal is about finding the right staffing team to teach a set of fabulous students to make sure that they reach their end point. And their end point is unique and different. And so our job is to kind of really work out, what does a student need and to get to their destination? And we work backwards from that. So it's about creating that kind of bespoke, unique education. And so my job is to upskill people and support people to make sure that that's what we've got running, and to create a culture in a school, in the school, that is about empowering people, but also an accepting culture where students can come and be themselves. And I think that, you know, creating a school with the right vision and the right values has been the number one thing to do.
Definitely, yeah. And it's very much needed. I think you can really see the difference now of your leadership and the progress that the young people are making, and the staff, you know, how collectively you've created a community. And I guess for the listeners, sort of Fairways Glade School, so Glade School is a school for young people with autism, but it's for young people that have probably been excluded from most specialist schools in Hampshire, or needs that can't be met in a specialist school or a private school. So you take probably some of the most vulnerable students with autism, and we take up to around 30 young people.
Yeah, that's right.
And you've got a second site now.
We've got Eastleigh.
You do, yeah. And it's, you offer like a, a bespoke curriculum, don't you, for young people?
Yeah.
So it's all tailored to their needs. If I was just to say to you, how would you sum up Glade School? Like, how would you describe it?
Glade School is an amazing environment to be part of. It's a community, it's a family. And actually, when we've had you know, different inspectors come in, they have, you know, one said that we've created something magical there. And I think, you know, the heart of what I wanted to create was a family, so that when our students come in, and you've said it yourself, they've been rejected by other provisions, and they don't trust people. And Glade is a place where they can come and be themselves and express themselves in an environment that is safe. And, you know, it's our job to make sure that they get to where they want to go. So I think Glade is a place that is about being accepting and welcoming, but a place that holds standards and expectations and rigour, because it's important that we view ourselves as a stepping stone to the next destination. So Glade is not the be-all and end-all. It's just a stepping stone to get them to whatever their next place is. And that next place might be a college place, or it might be straight into employment, but it's about us kind of working out what that looks like. So I think, because we offer that kind of bespoke curriculum, we're forever kind of evaluating and changing and adapting, and offering different things, because we want to offer the right thing for the right student at the right time. I don't know if that really answered your question.
Yeah, no, 100%.
Actually.
Yeah, definitely. And I can see your passion the way you talk about it. I love that sense of community and young people feeling that they belong somewhere, which is so key for these young people, because a lot of them don't, do they? A lot of them have, you know, been out of school, and, you know, many of them out of school for many months at home in isolation, without their peers or other children to play with and learn with. So, no, I really like that. And I can see that you've really embraced that, and especially some of the events you do and the fairs. And I'm sure you've got a Christmas fair coming up soon.
We have. We've got a Christmas fair, although it is November, so technically Christmas doesn't start until December. But my administrator, Steph, will obviously disagree with that. We've got a very exciting Christmas fair coming up, and it's lovely to get the students involved in that. We've planned a community event in the next couple of weeks where we're going out to a local church to help pack parcels. So education for me isn't just about what happens at Glade, it's about what happens beyond that, because we're preparing our young people to go off into the world, and that's why it's really important that everybody has that long-term vision about it. Isn't just what Glade, what we do, it's about what we're doing to get them ready for the next, you know, the next journey, the next step. So we've got a busy time coming up as we move towards Christmas.
Excellent. Okay, so what's your why? What gets you out of bed, Emma, every day and do the job you do?
I think my why is stronger now than it's ever been before, because of the place that I work in now. I think my why is about going to work knowing that you can make a difference, a direct difference to students and families. And I think that, you know, I think a lot of people say, oh, I go to work because I want to make a difference. But actually going to work now and having the power to make a decision that will change somebody's life chances is massive. It's huge. And I think the flexibility that Fairways offers is huge. Being able to work in an education setting where you can make a decision and somebody not question you about how much money you've spent on something, because what you're doing is right for the student. And I think Fairways, it literally does what it says on the tin. It really does want to support vulnerable people. And I think, you know, lots of schools say, oh yeah, I support the most vulnerable, but they don't actually, because there's a system and a set of guidelines. But with Fairways, it's like, if I know what's right with a student, I've got the freedom to do that. I can change something. You know, we can adapt learning. And that flexibility is a flexibility that I've never felt before working in mainstream. So I think knowing that I get to come to work and be able to have control over decisions that are going to directly impact on young people and families is enough of a why to get out of bed.
No, I love that. I love that. Yeah, definitely. And you can't underestimate that, being able to make decisions about all the red tape in the best interest of a child, however big or small that is. Brilliant. Thank you for sharing that. So another question I ask, which I have to keep saying it now because I started on the first one and now it's become a habit, but if you used to stick a rock you used to get the fun fair when you was a kid and you could break it in half, what's the values that run through you? What's your deep-hearted values, Emma?
Being honest and genuine, and always doing what you believe in and never kind of compromising. So however tough something gets, don't give up. I feel like I've got quite a lot of grit and determination. And when you know, the not good stuff hits the fan, I don't know if I'm allowed to swear on this podcast.
I don't know. You'd probably be the first if you
want. Oh, I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to be the first to swear on a podcast. But when the SHIT hits the fan, then I don't tend to give up, because I know what I want to achieve. So I'm very determined. And I think that's kind of what runs through me. And I think, you know, this last year or so with Glade, there's been a lot of challenges. Yeah. And there's been a lot of kickback because we've had to change things. But I've never shied away from the tough conversations, because ultimately what I want is the best for my kids. And that, you know, that will come at a cost of a lot of hard work and effort, but it's worth it. And it was so worth watching those leavers at the end of the year leave to go on to college, and the emotion and the connection that they felt with Glade, you know, to be a part of that, it's an honour to be a part of that journey, really. So I think core values are grit, perseverance, honesty, integrity, you know, sticking to what you actually believe in and never compromising from what you want to achieve.
Definitely.
I think is what runs through me.
Oh, yeah, 100% agree. I think I've witnessed all of that this year.
And a very competitive nature as well, I've been told. So,
yeah, no, that grit and determination, that integrity since coming in day one, because you had a big job to do and a big culture shift to change, but and you've done it. You're on that journey now and looking forward. But I picked up on what you said then, which I love, your passion. You said my kids,
yeah,
and that just really shows me that you give everything to that school and you see that as a community and a family. So thank you for sharing that. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Last question.
Ooh, okay.
So what I ask a lot of the guests is a generic question, and it's, you know, with all the sort of complexities and the chaos in everyday life, we know it impacts on our mental health and well-being. So what do you do for your own well-being, and what would you suggest?
Okay, so I have a fab family, so making sure that I carve out time to spend with them, which actually this job, even though I've taken a promotion, has into a kind of a role that's got more responsibility, has actually given me more time with my family, which is amazing. So I'm really grateful for that. But I love running, so I'm an avid runner. Not this morning though, because it was -2, so
cold.
That didn't get me out. But normally I get out of bed in the morning before work and go for a run.
Oh wow, good.
So I really enjoy running, and I signed up for, well, I made myself a New Year's resolution this year in January to take part in a race every month.
Okay.
And my competitive nature has meant that I've done that every month.
Oh, wow. You
so
are competitive, aren't you? I'm seeing this.
That's the problem. It's an advantage, but a disadvantage sometimes. So one more month to go, and I've run a race every every month. So I've collected lots of bling.
Oh, brilliant.
So the
well
bling's
done.
Amazing.
That's really good.
So I love running.
Some LinkedIn posts, sir.
Yes, absolutely. And for my sins, and I don't know if I should admit this on this podcast, but I am a Southampton Football Club season ticket holder.
Okay.
So there's lots of people now switching off on this podcast, isn't there? For my sins, I absolutely love going to the games, because that just provides a bit of time for me, and I go with my dad and my sister, so it's nice family connection time. And that gives me massive highs, but also massive lows. But I'm taking the highs at the moment, because we've had consecutive wins, so I'm taking
that. I'm not going to lie, I know how that feels as a Pompey fan as well. So.
I love, those are the things that kind of keep me sane. I love going out for meals and things like that. But
cool.
They're some of the things that, you know, and looking after your mental health is huge.
Yeah. So I've got to ask, what's been the toughest event or race that you've done this year?
Most challenging,
would you say?
I think the Great South Run in October was challenging, but actually an amazing accomplishment, to be honest. I'd done it 2 years before, and then last year it was cancelled because of the storm.
Oh, that's right, yeah.
And then this year the weather was hideous. It was freezing and windy and wet. And it's 10 miles along the seafront, so it was really tough. But I managed to knock off quite a lot of time off of my previous
Congratulations.
Time. A whole 10 minutes, which was amazing.
That's a lot of time in running, isn't it?
So that was a tough one. But I was saying to somebody else, actually, they put at mile 9 a board where your family can post messages to give you that motivation into the last mile. And as I approached the board, a message came up from my daughter. So
last
mile, I was a bit of a blubbing mess, to be honest, whilst trying to clear the rain and stuff.
Nice.
But that was definitely a tough one, but really rewarding one when I got to the end.
Brilliant.
Yeah.
Well, thank you so much for coming in today, Emma. That's been really nice, really insightful. It's lovely to hear about your background and your education and going to uni in Brighton, and also, I guess, all about the school and your passion around Glade School. So thank you. I love your why, and I love your values. So thank you very much.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
And I'll see you all later. Thank you.
Thank you.